Welcome to episode 20 of the Transforma Tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, I will be talking with Alistair, an amazing coach from my team, all about how to use the words quote and budget correctly, everything you need to know about quotation marks and quotes from famous people, the key differences between a customer and a client, why I prefer to call my students clients and not customers, why there are always some exceptions to the rule, especially connected to internal business jargon, and why some football fans object to being called customers. This podcast is aimed at helping you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone. Today what we're going to do is we're going to respond to one of our listeners, and his name is Miguel. And he had one particular question, which was the difference between quote, quotation, and budget. And we actually mentioned this in a previous episode, but we thought that it would be worth exploring a little bit more. And so as usual, I have Alistair with me. Hi, Alistair.
Hi, good morning. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Fantastic. So yeah, this is kind of a very common question, right, Alistair? It's something that we often hear from our clients. They ask this question frequently, don't they?
Yeah, it's a common thing we've heard over the years from clients, students. So it was a good email to get because it reminded me that, oh yes, this is quite a common question, a common problem. So it's something I think was interesting for us to cover in an episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
And I think you can also extend it into some other areas, which is why we decided not to deal with it very quickly in the previous episode. We thought we'd dedicate a bit more time.
Absolutely.
To this question of some confusion over quote, quotation and budget.
That's right. Yeah. And so essentially what we were discussing before we kind of started recording is that the confusion often comes from this word presupuesto, right?
Exactly.
And these types of confusion often are, yeah, well, let's say they happen quite a lot when there is one particular word in Spanish and there might be two or three words in English, right? And it can be also the opposite way around. But generally, when it's like that, when there's one particular word in Spanish and there are two in English, then that can cause a few different issues, let's say.
Well, we've covered this before in previous episodes.
We have.
And borrow, where there's one word in Spanish, prestar. And what was the other one? We've done another one as well. So this is something that happens quite often. Ganar.
Yes.
We had four words in English, four
right.
verbs for one verb in Spanish.
That's right.
And this is another example where the confusion is presupuesto, that is used in Spanish in two senses, two ways, that you understand from the context. But in English, we have two words to differentiate the two different meanings. And that's where the confusion can come in. No?
That's right. Absolutely. Now, is that actually what we have found out, and we'll talk about this later on, is that in Latin America, that confusion is a little bit less, right?
Yeah. I just discovered this yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was talking to one of my clients from Colombia in Bogota, and they said, well, I don't see the problem. And we discovered it's because they have two words also to differentiate these two things. So for any listeners from Latin America, well, I apologize. Maybe this is not very relevant or interesting, but don't worry. We're going to continue into some other areas as well where this is a problem. But for Spanish speakers in Spain, it can be a problem. So they have this one word, presupuesto, that is used in two different ways. And in English, we have two words.
That's
like
right.
in Latin America, which apparently the other, well, we'll come to it later.
Well, we will come
what
to
the
that,
word
yes.
is.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, let's just talk about those two words in English then, quote and budget, right? How would you differentiate those two, just to make it clear to our listeners?
The first thing is his question, quote and quotation. So
let's clear
that one up
first. Yeah.
There is no difference. So
basically,
quote is an abbreviation of the word quotation. So you can ask somebody for a quote or a quotation, or give somebody a quote or a quotation. It doesn't make any difference. It's the same. So that's the first thing to say. They mean the same thing.
Yeah.
And then budget is something. So the question is, what is a quote or quotation and what is a budget? What's the difference?
Yes. What
would your definition of a quote or quotation be? What would you understand by that word?
This, if I suppose in that sort of situation where I would be asking for a quote, it would be, I guess the best would be to give an example, right? So if somebody was coming to my house to repair something, let's say the roof of my house, or I wanted to change the windows or whatever it might be,
Or paint the house.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one as well. Renovate, yes.
Reforma. I always say reform, but it's not in English. It's renovate.
It's renovate. Yeah, that's a really good one. Yeah. But basically, maybe the person would come to my house, would have a look around. And then at the end of the process, I would say, oh, well, I assume you're going to send me a quote, right? And because I would really like to know how much it would cost at the end of the process, you know, how much is the whole, you know, is it going to be a lot? Is it going to be a little? I need to know, right? So that person would then go away and then they would probably send me a quote within a few days, right? So that I'd have something formal.
They have to estimate the cost of painting your house or repairing your roof. Mm-hmm. So another word you can use is an estimate.
That's right.
So say, could you send me an estimate for the cost of painting my house? So quote, quotation, and estimate all mean the same. You can ask for a quote, a quotation, or an estimate. Mm-hmm. And it's an approximation of the final cost.
Yes.
Of what they think it will cost to paint your house or repair your roof or whatever it may be, you know, renovate your kitchen or something. You ask for more than one because you want to compare quotes or estimates. No, so maybe you get two or three people come to your house to have a look at your house, and each of them will send you a quote, a quotation, or an estimate of the cost, and you choose which one you prefer.
Absolutely.
The cheapest, but not necessarily the cheapest.
No, depending.
Could be
depending.
You've also got to consider quality, how much you trust that person to do a good job or not.
Et
cetera, et cetera. No, so it's not always just a question of price, but price is obviously, it's important. That's why you ask for the quote, because you want to know what the cost, the more or less the approximate cost of that work. No?
Yes, great explanation. Yeah, so you'd often have several quotes or several estimates. You'd compare them, see which one you think is the best, and then you'd go with that. So it's a kind of, a way of comparing different types of services and their prices, right?
Exactly. And then the person who's come to your house to paint your house or whatever it is, they may say to you, well, what's your budget?
And
here we have the difference in the meaning. They say, well, what sort of budget do you have?
Yeah.
And you say, well, I'm thinking my maximum is no more than 1,000 euros or between 500 and 1,000. So the budget, and in Spanish, both things is a presupuesto. This is the Spanish in Spain, we have to say.
Yes.
So in Spanish, you can ask for a presupuesto, which is what we would call the quote or the estimate. And also you can have your personal presupuesto, which is the amount of money that you have available to you to spend on renovating your kitchen or painting your house. So you may say, well, I can spend a maximum of 1,000 euros. Mm-hmm. So I need a quote that is within my budget. Mm-hmm. So if they send you a quote for 1,500, it's too much. You say, sorry, I can't afford that. That's outside my budget.
Yeah.
So obviously if they send you one for 850 or 900, you say, oh, okay, that's within my budget. So that's the amount of money that I can afford or I want to spend on this particular job or thing. There's where we differentiate the two meanings of quote and budget.
Yes. And it's kind of interesting because at the same time, you could have a budget in a sort of personal sense. So you might have a budget for your holiday or for some work that you're doing on your house, but it can also very much apply to a very corporate environment as well, right? So where a business might be looking for something, a particular type of service, and they have a particular budget that they have, they can spend on a particular service that they're looking for, right?
Yeah. For example, the training budget. They may say this year's training budget, the amount of money the company can or is prepared or willing to spend on training for their employees is, whatever I know, 200,000 euros. And that is the maximum that we can spend on training. So, you know, don't go beyond. If by October you've already spent the 200,000, then there's no more training for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Or in fact, what often happens that I hear from my clients all the time, they say, oh, it's crazy. They get to October, November, they haven't spent the budget. They've only spent half of it and they're going crazy trying to put everyone on training courses So go, oh, I've got an intensive training every 3 days a week, every week for the next month. I'm going to have problems attending the class. It's because they're trying to spend all the money. Because if you don't spend the budget, the next year they say, oh, so you only spent 150,000. Not to, oh, so that's all you need. Next year, the budget is 150,000, not 200,000. Yeah, yeah, so you lose. Yeah. So companies often, they're desperately trying to spend the budget to the maximum to not have the budget reduced that for the next year, which is a bit crazy, really. But it's just sending people on training courses that maybe they don't really need or really want to do simply to spend the money in the budget.
Yeah, that is true. That does happen. That happens a lot from what I gather
from my, you know, people telling me from my classes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So there you go. That's basically the difference between quote estimate, which remember they are pretty much the same, quote quotation estimate, let's say, and budget. Okay, so I mean, I think that's quite clear, but it's very important to get that clear in your mind as well. Okay, and try to use it as much as you can. And because all like with all of these things, right, it's getting the practice in that really will cement it in your mind. So make sure that you kind of, it's very, very clear for you what the difference is between quote and budget. Yeah, now, we
I think the mistake I've heard more often is people saying they've asked for a budget.
Right, yes.
And you can't ask for a budget exactly. Well, maybe you can internal negotiations within the departments of your company. Mm-hmm. You can ask for X budget for training. But usually when what we spoke about before is you get somebody to do a job in your house or something, you're asking for a quotation or a quote. So you don't ask for, but the budget is what you have. It's the money that you know you can spend on something. No?
Yeah, that is definitely the main key error, let's say, without a doubt, that somebody that you might say to somebody, yeah, can you give me a budget? Okay. And when somebody says something like that, it's just like, it doesn't sound quite right. You're kind of a little bit confused. What does that mean? Certainly in terms of English. So probably suddenly, I think you and I, we would certainly understand exactly what somebody might be saying.
They're thinking presupuesto.
Exactly.
I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're speaking to a native speaker, they would be then confused by that. So, you know, you definitely need to go with those two words, quote or estimate, and choose whichever one you like more. It's as simple as that. Mm. It doesn't really matter which one you use, the one that comes to you more easily, maybe the one that you can remember a little bit easily or more easily, or that you can pronounce a little bit more easily, whichever works best, let's say.
And maybe this is the moment to go back to what I just recently discovered about South American or Latin American Spanish, at least in Colombia. Yeah. Listeners can tell us if this is only Colombia or all of Latin America, that they have this word. So what we would call the quote, quotation, estimate is a cotización, or cotización, as they would pronounce. So they have two words. It's not a problem. So they have presupuesto is what we call a budget, which is your personal budget to spend the money you have to spend on something. And then the other, what you ask for from somebody to work to renovate your house or paint your house, in at least in Colombia, is a cotización. So there is not this confusion, doesn't happen. They have two words. But in Spanish, in Spain, as far as we know, there's only the word presupuesto for both things. Which is an interesting discovery, because I didn't know that. This is quite useful, having these clients we have sometimes in Latin America. We discover things about differences between Castellano Spanish between Spain and in other countries like Mexico and Colombia, etc., which is quite fascinating for us as well, I think.
So that is an interesting idea there, where potentially people located in Latin America may not have this particular problem. For them, it might be absolutely clear. And if that is the case, that would be certainly be really interesting to hear from our listeners in Latin America. Now, the other thing that we were also going to talk about was the whole idea of the second meaning of quote, right?
Ah, yes, of course.
Which is very, very important as well, because obviously, you know, we've just talked about the meaning of quote and estimate, but a quote does actually have a second meaning, and it's often related to famous people and what they've said, right?
Yeah, well, to quote somebody is to, well, in Spanish is citar. So when you repeat a famous phrase or sentence by, I know, Winston Churchill or Nelson Mandela or John F. Kennedy, you are quoting John F. Kennedy. So something somebody says, and we say, when you write it, you put this quote in quotation marks, or entre comillas, because you're quoting the words, the exact words of another person, not your own words.
Yeah.
So that's a completely different meaning of quote. So you can quote of Karl Marx or Groucho Marx, whichever one you prefer, one funnier than the other. So yeah, there's a different meaning of quote, to quote.
Yeah.
And again, you can say a quote or a quotation. So I think, because quote is basically an abbreviation of the word quotation.
Right, yeah.
And when we say entre comillas, we always say quotation marks. We never say quote marks.
That's
true. So there you use the full word.
Yeah.
But when you talk about a famous quote or a famous quotation by whoever it may be, Winston Churchill or some famous politician in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's just a little add-on there in terms of the second meaning of quote. Mm-hmm. If you decide to use that one, you have to be also aware of that second meaning. Maybe you know that second meaning already, which is fantastic, and then you can kind of link it and just have that in your mind, right? Now, there was also, when we were kind of thinking about this question from Miguel, we kind of also came up with another situation where in Spanish you have one word and in English there are two. And we thought that it would be kind of quite interesting to discuss this particular idea as well, which is the word cliente, right?
Classic.
And yeah, cliente. It's really a classic one, to be honest. And we thought that it would link very nicely with the whole idea of presupuesto, because obviously they're both words that you would use in a business context. And so, yeah, here again, what we do have is one word in Spanish, cliente, and then in English we have this whole thing of customer or client. So let's delve into that quickly, Alistair.
As far as we know, in Latin America is the same. So again, if there's another word which I'm not aware of for cliente, then let us know. But as far as we know, is cliente, and in English is, as you said, customer and client.
Yeah.
And it's an eternal problem of students say, what's the difference? I think most of our clients are aware that there are two words in English, but they don't know what is the difference. And they say, so is this, do I say client or customer? What's the difference? There's a lot of confusion about this, understandably, because you say, well, it's cliente. So in Spanish, this is not a problem. We have one word. So the question is, what is the definition of those two things, and what is the difference? So how would you define client as opposed to customer, Daniel?
Yeah, so client is where, for example, you might have a longer term relationship. That's generally what I would say. It's often could be more related to like a B2B situation where, it's a relationship between two different companies that is very long term. And there you kind of definitely would say give the whole idea of, yes, this particular company is our client, right? But in general, it can be also related more to the whole idea of a service, right? It's not just a bottle of shampoo that you might pick up in the supermarket. This is something that if you're providing a service, you're kind of in touch with that client over a longer period of time. You know them very
name.
Well. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, you have some kind of relationship with that person over time. No?
Yeah, you would expect them to come back again and again, potentially. There's something that it might be a service that they need again and again, right?
Yeah.
So it's not something that they just need in a one-off situation.
It's not a one-off purchase of a product.
That's right.
And then that's the end. So it could be like legal, like a lawyer, for example. A lawyer wouldn't refer to their customers as customers. They would call them clients, because you tend to have a long-term. There's people who have their family lawyer, and whenever they have a legal problem, they go to the same lawyer for years or generations even. And so a lawyer will offer a service, obviously legal advice and representation, to solve your legal problem over a period of time. It could be months, could be years. At the end of that process, when they finish that particular job, they will bill you or invoice you for their services. No, they charge their fees, I think is the word, no? We'd say a fee, honorarios, I think in Spanish.
Yeah.
So it's not simply, you don't go into a law firm and see a lawyer and just buy something. Like, can you give me advice and pay for it and then leave and then never see that lawyer again? I mean, it's possible. You might just have one question you need answering and they could just say, okay, there's your answer and we'll charge you for it. But it's not like going in a supermarket, buying some bread or some shampoo. You go to the checkout, you pay for it and you leave. And they don't even know your name, who you are, and you may never go back to that supermarket ever again in your life.
That's right.
And that's a customer, no?
That is a customer, absolutely.
That is definitely a customer. That is a clear difference.
Yeah,
no?
I suppose what we can say there are grey areas, of course, yeah, but those sort of definition that you've given now of like literally going into a supermarket and buying bread, that would definitely be a very sort of clear cut customer, because as you say, the supermarket definitely doesn't know your name, or yeah, they don't know, you know, I mean, of course you might even pay with cash, so they don't even know where that
anything
cash
about
has come
you
from necessarily. So yeah.
Yeah, and there's no long-term relationship. It's just a purchase of a product.
Yeah.
So that's definitely, so when it's retail, so retailers who sell to the end user, so the customer is sort of the end user, just buying something from a retailer. So when you just go into the Corte Inglés or whatever shop and buy a pair of jeans or something, and then you pay for it and you leave, that is definitely a customer. That's a clear definition. And obviously before, the relationship of a lawyer, for example, to their customers, inverted commas, is definitely a client. Because the lawyer knows who you are, it knows your name, and you have some kind of usually long-term relationship or regular, they're providing you with a regular service over a period of time. So that's definitely a client, I think, that you've got. But then you say there's some gray areas between, be a customer or a client.
Always the sort of situation with English in general, right? We always kind of establish a rule and then we kind of talk about the exceptions, right? I don't think the exception here is particularly difficult to remember, because what we discussed before recording the episode was that basically some companies, you know, this rule that we've just explained is what we would suggest, but in some particular companies, they use a certain level of jargon, right? That may go against the rules that we've just spoken about. So for example, you might have a situation where you're in a company and you would say, well, according to what Daniel and Alistair said, it seems that they are actually clients, for example.
Yeah, that is the correct word from the definition. We should be referring to these people or other companies as clients. No?
Yes. But it might be that your particular company actually talks about them in terms of the different type of terminology, and they might actually use the word customer instead. And that is absolutely fine and absolutely okay.
It doesn't really matter if that's what your company has decided when you speak in English or write emails in English. It's usually in big companies like multinationals where you're using English because you're talking to people in other countries or going to meetings with people of different languages. So the company language is English, the official language.
Yeah.
And then they just may say, well, in my company, they refer. So sometimes they're talking about their customers. And I say, customer, it's not a client. And they say, well, we say customer. I say, well, that's okay. If in the jargon, so I think jargon is about, is it jerga oficial? I think is the definition.
Yeah.
So it's basically the terminology or the language used in a particular, so you can have legal jargon, medical jargon, and in a company, they can call their customers whatever they want. So they choose to call so it's obviously another business that they have a long-term relationship with, like a supplier, for example. Mm. And that would definitely be, by our definition, is a client.
Yeah.
However, in that company, they use the word customer.
Yeah.
And you say, well, that's fine. If that's the word you use in your company and that's what your bosses have told you to use, then you use it. Don't worry. Don't change it to... So I'm telling you what the definition is, but finally it's whatever's used in the context of your way you work. Yeah. So there's the gray. It's not really a gray area. It's just that you have a definition, but then in a particular environment, the company you work in may choose to say, no, we prefer to call our clients customers.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, we like this word better, or
yeah,
who knows why. But for whatever reason, they've decided to say customer. So okay, that's fine. I mean, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
I think what'd be really strange. So I think it's okay to call a client a customer if that's the word that has been decided in your environment.
Yeah.
But for a shop or a supermarket to refer to the people who come in and just buy shampoo and leave as a client, that is just wrong.
Yeah.
That would be very strange. And I've never heard it. So I don't think.
Yeah.
So I think there's a case where you can be flexible, but in the other one you can't. It sounds ridiculous for somebody who goes into a news agents and buys a newspaper or some cigarettes and then leaves to say they're a client.
Yes.
Because they're not, that is just a customer. But in the other way around, where you have this business to business B2B relationship, strictly speaking, by the definition, is a client. However, if you choose to call them a customer, that's fine.
Yeah, that's very well explained. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the definition that I would use as well. And we kind of came up with two kind of little anecdotes, right, as well, to kind of like further give a little bit more explanation. And one of them is kind of related to my particular business, let's say, where I obviously have a whole range of teachers that collaborate with me. And of course, the question there is whether my business has customers or clients, right? Or even potentially students, right? Yeah, absolutely.
So there's three possible words that you could use to refer to those people you provide your services to.
That's
which is English language teaching or coaching.
That's right. Exactly. Mm. Now, of course, we could choose any one of those, right? I mean, it's of all of those three, let's say, my preferred would be a client. Okay. So that's just kind of to give you an idea about why exactly, you know, like from my perspective.
That's your jargon. So that's what you've decided is the word that you prefer to use. Just like we said before, a company may prefer to use the word customer.
For some
reason, they like it.
That's right.
They think it sounds better.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't really, I mean, I've thought about it a little bit in terms of why, you know, which word would be the best. And certainly from my perspective, I would like to feel that we have sort of a longer term relationship with our clients. And that's what, therefore, I use the word client to talk about the people who kind of are looking into our services,
services. Yeah, and it's a service, not a product. They're not buying a product, which sounds a bit impersonal.
Yeah.
So because you're trying to build a relationship with your clients over a long period of time, we hope, and you're providing a service, hopefully over a long period of time, that I understand why you like or prefer to this word client.
Yes.
So
yes,
it just sounds very professional as well.
Yes. So that's the other idea, obviously, is that client is a little bit more professional, certainly more professional than student, for example, because student, obviously, you
could
think about going to school or an academy or something like that. And customer is kind of like more of a one-off thing. They may do, you know, do you really want an English session just in terms of a one-off? You know, that's kind of unusual. So so that's why client in terms of the organization that I've wanted to create, the jargon that we use is client, partly because of all of those different issues that we've just talked about. Yeah. And we also talked about another situation, didn't we, where kind of the difference between customer and, where customer actually can be potentially a little bit offensive, right?
Yeah, yeah. Customer can have a negative connotation in certain situations, precisely because of that idea that it's not a long-term relationship. It's just buying a product and leaving without any sort of personal contact.
Yeah.
So, for example, we thought of the example of a football fan, a football supporter. So you're a fan or a supporter of a club, usually the whole of your life from a child, and you have an emotional connection to your football team or club. So it doesn't matter if they're doing well, doing badly, if they're terrible, if they never win anything. Once you've chosen your team, you can't change it. It's for life. Even more than a marriage, you're married to your team, but you can divorce your wife, but you can never divorce your football team. So, I mean, you're a Tottenham Hotspur supporter, and I'm a Liverpool supporter or fan. And, you know, whether they're good, bad, indifferent, you're always a supporter of that team for the rest of your life, no?
Yes.
So it's not like just going to a supermarket and buying a product. So you don't say, oh, I'm supporting Liverpool this week because they've got to the final of the Champions League and they're very good.
Yeah.
And then in a few months, they're not doing so well. And you say, oh, I'm going to change and become a Chelsea fan.
Sure.
Because now they're winning.
Yeah.
There are people who do that, but they usually, true football fans don't approve of. So your club is for life. And once you've chosen, you can never change.
Sure.
But football clubs themselves, which are businesses, or the owners of football clubs who are business people, and organizations that run football like UEFA, FIFA, they quite often use the term referring to football fans as their customers. And football fans really hate this terminology. Sounds very offensive. Say, no, I'm not a customer. I'm not just buying a product like shampoo in a supermarket. No, I have an emotional connection with this club for many, many, maybe all my life, maybe passed on from my father to me. You know, it's often a generational thing.
It is.
So please don't call me a customer. But obviously they are businesses run by business people who are interested in making profits. And they do often use that word referring to their people purchasing season tickets or tickets for matches as their customers.
Sure.
And football fans, supporters really hate this. No, I am not a customer. I'm a fan. I'm a supporter. So I'm not just coming there buying a ticket like shampoo in a supermarket.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. And you can understand why that would be potentially offensive to somebody who has been supporting a team their whole life. They don't want to see themselves as just being a customer. For them, it's certainly not a short-term relationship at all. They've been going there maybe, as you said, for generations. They certainly feel that it's not just a transaction. As you mentioned,
It's not just a transaction. Something much more deep about it, more profound.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's a really good way to think about and make it even clearer exactly what a customer is, because those supporters really don't want to be customers. They don't even want to be referred to as customers, because they have got a lot more, they've actually got a real affinity.
It's a passion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and obviously, if you buy a product like shampoo in the supermarket, if you don't like the shampoo or it's not very good, or they put the price up, you'll just buy another shampoo. So, people generally don't have loyalty. Sometimes you can have a loyalty to a particular product that you really like. But finally, if you can find the same quality cheaper in another shop or another brand, you'll change brand or change supermarket and you'll buy another shampoo. So we change our shampoo during our life. Usually most people don't buy the same shampoo or the same brand all their life.
Yeah.
And if it's expensive, if they increase the price of the shampoo by 10%, you go, okay, I'll buy another one that's cheaper. But you don't do that with your football club. If the club puts up the prices of the tickets, if you were just a customer and say, okay, I'm not going anymore, it's too expensive, I'm not going to go to Tottenham, I'm going to change to Arsenal.
Yeah.
But for a Tottenham fan, the idea of changing to Arsenal is inconceivable. It's impossible. Or me changing to Manchester United is like impossible. So therefore, you can be exploited. So often football clubs exploit their fans because they see them as a customer. They say, well, we'll put the prices up 20% and we know these people will still buy the ticket because they have an emotional connection to this club and they're not going to change. Yeah. So they're easily exploited. This is a problem for football fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because they are just seen sometimes as means to get money by the club. And they'll exploit this relationship that the fans have with the club to say, well, we'll just put the price up. We know they'll pay.
Yeah.
They're not going to change their club and go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Unlike shampoo or some other product.
Absolutely. Great. So fantastic. That was all about cliente. So let's just do a quick summary of what we've covered today. First of all, obviously the whole idea of presupuesto, the two different words that can be used there, obviously, are quote and budget. The difference between the two is kind of hopefully now quite clear. Quote is when you are asking for somebody to tell you exactly how much something might be, and a budget is exactly how much money you might have to spend on something in particular. Okay, there are different meanings of quote as well, which is important to mention. You can have a quote from a famous person, for example. You can also have quotation marks, also very important. So yeah, in those particular cases, just try to get those two words into your mind and kind of use them in the right context. Then we went on to cliente, where we have a similar type of issue, where we have two words again, where it's customer and client. Customer, as we defined it, is more of a B2C, so business to customer. It's more related to products and it's more short term. Client, on the other hand, is more B2B, more related to services and is a little bit longer term. But we have to talk about the exception as well. And if your organization uses one particular type of word or kind of focuses more on customers or clients, whichever, then probably it is best for you to adopt that particular terminology, right? And then we had two small anecdotes, one in terms of the way I refer to my clients and, of course, the reasons why, and hopefully that is clear as well. And then, of course, the situation where sometimes being called a customer can be offensive, and that is related to the whole idea of where we're talking about football and fans do not want to be called customers. Great. Well, that's it for today. Thanks very much, Alistair. It's really interesting. Certainly covered loads of stuff there. So it was really amazing.
We did from Miguel. Thanks, Miguel.
That's right. Yes.
From one short question, a whole episode, quite a long
one. Absolutely. Yes. So Miguel, thank you very much for that question. I hope that it answers that particular question. Yes. And if you want to get in touch with us again and let us know, that would be fantastic. So thank you very much, Alistair.
Thank you.
And I'll see you again next week. All right.
Bye. Cheers.
All right. See you then. Bye-bye.
See
you.